90% of the frauds are not happening because of chip and pin transaction today. Transitioning from a run-of-the-mill job to startup world, you're not learning every day, you're learning every hour. Actually issue the RuPay credit card in less than 3 minutes. 5 apps on the phone, which you use to manage your credit card, are all combined into Kiwi.
Today's guest is Mohit Bedi, a seasoned fintech and banking professional, and he's the co-founder of India's first credit on UPI startup, Kiwi. Starting up after a very successful career of more than 20 years at Citibank, Barclays, and Axis, Mohit and Kiwi are all set to disrupt the credit card industry and the credit industry with a no-hassle, free-for-life credit card. Under Mohit's guidance, Kiwi forged partnerships with Axis Bank, issuing over 30,000 credit cards. Join us as we talk to Mohit about all things fintech, product managers, and building credit for a price-conscious country. Mohit, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, great to have you, Avril. I've heard so much about you. I have some colleagues who are voluntarily working. And voluntary, I mean, it is amazing that you've been able to build something with volunteers. It's hats off to the effort.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We are missing Mazin today, but he's usually there on the pod. So I'll be taking this. Mohit, we begin with a fun round, which is rapid fire. Coffee with Karan's over, but we are all season long. So we'll start with, if you could be a professional in any other field unrelated to what you do, what would it be and why?
I would actually become a tennis player. I love tennis. I play morning, evenings tennis whenever I'm free. In fact, I participated in ITF tournaments also, courtesy.
Oh, really?
Some friends encouraging me. So in the 45 plus category, actually over the weekend, we had an ITF tournament in Mumbai. So I love playing sports, any racket sports.
Wow.
I played tennis. I've in fact also participated in the racketlon. That was happening in the morning before we had this podcast.
Wow. I think it's why you don't look 45 plus. I wouldn't have guessed. I know your years of experience, so I could work it out. But if I didn't know that, definitely couldn't have. That's awesome. Three things that you hate about finance jobs.
Three things: bureaucracy. Everybody doesn't do what they're paid to do. And it's too run of the mill and cliched.
Okay. Cool. That was pretty quick. So it seems like you have thought about this.
Yeah, because the startup world, it was like transitioning from a run-of-the-mill job to startup world. I think you're not learning every day, you're learning every hour. So the whole norms of the industries have changed.
Correct? No, that's amazing.
That's amazing. I'll share some things over the course
absolutely. One question you would ask yourself if you were the AJBC host, this is our lazy way of doing the interview.
To myself?
Yes, to yourself.
I would ask that, why the hell did you get into this?
So I'm going to ask that to you right now. Why the hell did you get into this? And I'll keep that for later because it will come.
Yeah.
In the... Okay. Bootstrap versus funded?
Funded is a... if you're doing something at scale, funded is a much better option. And clearly, it gives you that leverage to... think and take more risks.
How would you describe your company's culture with three phrases or adjectives?
So, friendly, cooperative, and always curious.
Doesn't sound like a bank.
I hope so.
Maybe except cooperative.
Yes.
Maybe not even that. Anyway. What's one truth few people agree with you on?
What's one truth
that you really believe in and people disagree with you?
That Kiwi can actually make a big dent into the Goliaths of the world, which is Google Pay and PhonePe.
So that's why you... Like, a lot of times we get this answer, which is the startup itself. Like, a lot of founders say, my big truth is the company which you've started. It's always good to know. Super. Would love to talk through your life journey and motivations. I'll ask you the question that you said you'd ask yourself, which is, why the hell are you doing this? So You were a PM at GE in the 2000s. What was your experience then? Like, can you talk through how you ended up there? Maybe just, you know, early days growing up, how you ended up there and what did you learn? And this is a time when PMs obviously were not probably, I mean, I'm assuming were not as sexy a job as it is today. So it'd be great to walk through that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And this was the year 2000. So there was a boss of ours, actually it was headed by a person called Iqbal Singh, was the head of GE SBI Cards. And cards were just coming into vogue. This was the year 2000.
GE had a joint venture with SBI for cards.
Yeah. You guys don't even, you were not even born in that era.
No, I was born. Probably wasn't. I was very young. I was 7. Yeah,
So GE and SBI cards was a joint venture. GE had 49% stake, SBI had 51% and all that at that point in time. And SBI Cards wanted to launch credit cards in India. And that's where GE Capital, which was the financial arm, had come into India and did that partnership. So we were the first batch of management trainees. Iqbal Singh actually had joined from Hindustan Levers Limited, HLL, at that point of time, right? And he was of the culture that management trainees are what build the foundation of organization.
Correct.
And that's when there were 8 of us. We are still in touch. We are called the batch of 2000 in that organization.
Yeah.
And all 8 of us started off and we were like a typical Hindustan Lever style. We were made to do rotations of 3 months in each department. And then they said, great, you learned everything. Now go to a rural posting. Although a rural posting in that point of time was Bhopal, Ludhiana, Indore, Lucknow, all those places. They were sort of like tier 2 locations. And we were made to do a sales stint for 2 years. So we did a rotation for three months, then did a 2-year sales rotation. And that's when we joined product because of that HLL philosophy that Iqbal had. And we are still, all 8 of us are in touch with each other and we are in touch with Iqbal also. But that's what set the ground running as to how do you experience customers and convert it into products. And credit card is a very transactional product, right? Or you touch each and everything on a daily basis. And from then on is when product management journey started, right? Once you had approximately 2.5-3 years of sales plus inter-department experience. And that's what led to launch of new products, right? In fact, during my product management stint, I launched the doctor's card, which I'm very famous for. In fact, if you ask my SBI Cards colleagues, they call me Dr. Bedi. Is because so they used to.
And what was his doctor's card for? I'm so curious about.
So we had tied up with Indian Medical Association. Okay. And we had given the card because doctors was a very risk-free community, right? You could underwrite them properly. And we were, in fact, at that right now, though, you get miles and reward points as welcome benefits. We were giving stethoscopes as welcome benefits.
Fascinating.
So that was the nascent stage. And we used to give stethoscopes. We used to give membership discount on Indian Medical Association memberships. And all that. And we were in, the product was really catered to doctors specifically. We were doing local advertising for their clinics and all that, et cetera, but that card did decently well. And that's how I got the name of Dr. Bedi during my SBI card stint. But it was a great learning experience. Once you do a 2-year sales stint, in a city like Bhopal, where you were interacting with customers and it's a government town, right? So that sets the tone to design products very well.
Where are you from originally, Mohit?
So dad was in the army. So we were traveling everywhere. So my life was mostly in hostels and various army cantonments. But then we settled down in Delhi. You can make out I'm more or less like a Delhi Punjabi kind of a person. So we settled down in Delhi. But we roamed around everywhere. Dad was posted in Bareilly, Mau. We were posted in Bhopal also for some time. So we roamed around everywhere.
Right. Why I was asking that was because if you're in a big city your whole life, going and selling in Bhopal can be a very cultural shock.
And actually, we were doing, all of us were made to do door-to-door selling. Do you know this?
Like in Unilever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. So that mindset was very clear when Iqbal told
us. Do you think that's a good way to groom young talented people?
I think it is the best way, because in our organization today also, when some product manager or some new trainee joins in, we tell him to just sit with customer service, make some calls. So, for example, if we have set of, let's say, 500 odd inactive customers who've not transacted for a month, right?
Mm.
We tell him, just pick up the phone, be polite to them, talk to them, what happened, why did it happen?
Mm.
So, there were times when these management trainees have come back to us and said, I think this and this has happened. Mm. Then we had to tell them, see, now the power of questionnaire comes into picture. Mm. Make a questionnaire, put that inputs, and then come back to us. So these things are a learning experience for them. If you tell them everything upfront, I don't think they'll learn. But we ensure that every trainee and product manager speaks to at least 10 customers a day.
Fascinating. My dad was part of Tata Steel's GT batch. So I know when you say this batch thing, a lot of these large organizations which have these well-oiled graduate trainee programs, it's almost like college extended by a few years. And he's in touch also with his GT batch, like many of them. Your group seems smaller, but his GT batch was like 150.
Wow.
I mean, Jamshedpur, the whole city started still, they recruit a lot of people. It was big. And was this your first experience with credit? Was it by choice, or you just kind of stumbled into it because it was your first job and things like that?
No, it was by accident. You're right. I just stumbled upon this. And credit card industry was actually growing, starting to take off.
Can't believe like GE had a joint venture with SBI. Still processing that.
In fact, I tell my product managers that we used to read books of Jack Welch. They first asked, who is Jack Welch? I said, boss, let's move forward.
Yeah, let's move forward. They definitely are born after 2000. I know who Jack Welch is. I did have his book. I threw it, unfortunately, because it was lying in the library and I didn't have space.
Yes, it was a fascinating thing, right?
Yeah.
So, hum logon ne Jack Welch, GE, sab kuch shuru kiya. And it was by accident that we got a PPO, actually. We were doing summers in GE SBI.
Hmm.
And summers ke liye everybody picks you up for sales, right? So for a sales profile, and we did well, and all eight of us got a PPO. So the headache of sitting for interview rounds and etc. in campus also were done and dusted. So it was a very fascinating journey.
Nice, that's amazing. And then you spent time at GE, and then you worked at multiple banks. What were your learnings from them? Is there anything you can use to describe maybe each of them, something in their culture, something that stayed with you, because they were all banks at the end of the day. How would you describe them? Was there something, a word you could probably use for each of them, or an adjective?
So actually, GE was the foundation laying stuff, but I was doing very high level stuff. Post GE is when I joined Citibank. And I again had two stalwarts as my bosses, Ritu Rana and Kushal Roy. But Citi was the first time I got experience around P&L. So my entire learning, actually, I'm indebted to what Citi did, made me learn. And that point of time, Citi was mecca for all payment professionals, correct? So for all cardies who came out of Citibank, they went ahead and did really well in the payments business.
Okay.
So Citi was like where I learned everything, and all my grooming, etc., happened from Citibank. From Citi is when I moved to Barclays. Again, Barclays was the launch of the cards business. I did certain amount of partnerships and co-branding, etc. So learned product and then co-branding there. But then Stanchart and then Axis. So Axis was when I realized the difference between a MNC bank and a Indian private sector bank. The scale, etc., was exponentially different. So I was managing the products for credit card, debit cards, and prepaid cards for the entire Axis Bank. So imagine the base size was 2 crores plus customers. So every decision could move mountains, right? because even if you give a 10% cashback, imagine the sheer
the magnitude
of the PNL that Correct. Used to happen.
Correct.
So that's when you got an exposure of how decisions at scale make a difference in life, right?
Mm.
So those 7-8 years at Axis were really awesome. They are unbelievably great years.
And were you doing credit cards through and through?
I did. Axis is the last place where I did 4 years of credit card and 4 years of acquiring. So there is issuing and acquiring business. So when I left, when I was in the cards business, we actually reached number 4 from number 6 in India in terms of ranking. Mm. In acquiring business, we were actually processing close to 30,000 crores of volumes per month. I mean, when I used to meet my team at Axis in acquiring, we used to tell them that every time you blink, 6 transactions happen through our payment network. So
amazing.
That's the scale we were managing. And unlike a Razorpay or a PayU, which only manages payment gateway business, Axis is both POS and payment gateway, right?
Mm.
So everything was included, QR. And I was there acquiring head during the demonetization time.
Hmm.
Which was, I think, by far the most exciting time because you had to enable the digital infrastructure.
Hmm.
So we were part of the government meetings where Piyush Goyal was chairing and all the bankers were sitting as to how do we manage demonetization and create digitization, etc. So that period of demon was like awesome.
Hmm. Till what year were you at Axis?
So I was there till, 2 years back, to 2021.
Okay, so you were there when the Magnus card and all were
launched. My marquee product that happened during my tenure was not Magnus, actually, was Vistara.
Oh.
Because that was the first partnership that Vistara did, right? So, and that Vistara Black Card, the features are so good. Until date, touch wood, they've not been diluted a lot.
Yes.
So that was the agreement at that time we had with Vistara. So it will always remain the most powerful Vistara card in the Vistara stable, and it's doing fantastically well.
Hmm.
So I love that product. In fact, that's my primary card after Kiwi now.
Wow. You are a user of two of the products you created. So that at least, I mean, I don't know if you have...
I don't have any other product. I don't.
And maybe we are going to a tangent, but this is interesting. And personally for me also, why do banks devalue cards or remove features? Because you alluded to it with Vistara. It happened with Magnus, and a lot of people, including me, I'm a Magnus user, were like very upset. What goes behind the scenes, like from a bank perspective?
So it's purely gaming, basically. See, you when you make products, you create certain features and you expect certain amount of gaming, right? That PNL account says that if every PNL has a threshold of gaming that can happen, right?
Mm. Can you explain this? Because I understand what you're saying, but can you elaborate on what gaming means?
Let's say lounge access, for example, correct? It's the simplest thing to say. Mm. Now, every PNL or the product manager says that I'm expecting, let's say, 3% to 5% usage of lounges, correct, by customers. And that 3 to 5% will have, let's say, 1% impact on my PNL in the costing. 1% of my total cost will be required to fund those launch costs. However, at certain point of times, so there is a circuit breaker like stock markets that if it goes to 7, it's tolerable and keep a watch for it. Correct. If the usage goes from 3 to 5 to 7%. But if it goes to 10% is when the PNL suddenly starts looking really bad, right? If you are expecting 3 to 5% usage, the product manager starts keeping a hawkeye if it is 7% usage. But if it touches 10% is when alarm bells start ringing, correct? And that's when you start taking a call because your card needs to survive for a longer period of time. And the other thing is that let's take lounge only, for example. You are expecting 3 to 5% people using or 10% have used this time. When you devalue, then actually the impact is on the delta 5% customers that had started using it, correct?
Hmm.
So while those 5% go out on social media and various platforms criticizing that, why have you devalued? The impact in number of customers has traditionally never been more than a single digit percentage.
Very interesting. And this gaming is because you want to acquire and retain users. Is that why what gaming means? Another follow up question is, how are you looking at a card as surviving long term? Is it like a treated like a P&L itself as a company sub product?
So I'll give you an example. Different banks approach cards business in a different manner. So for example, let's say in Axis, at least I know that they treat credit cards as an overall P&L. So some product make great profits. Some product are, let's say, for affluent customers, which are, let's say, 30,000-40,000 customers, and they might bleed because at overall level, which is their savings account business and other cross-sell businesses, they will make money. But not all cards make money. Not 100% of cards will never make money, right? The affluent cards will probably break even or maybe make some amount of losses. But the bottom end cards end up making enough money, right? So cards is always treated like a complete business. However, there are certain small banks, right? They have very minuscule cards businesses and they have very few product lines, correct? So let's take, if I was in a situation like RBL Bank, right? They have Bajaj and then they have very few other card portfolios where they are very dependent on co-brands, right? That is the situation when each product line needs to be profitable and they can't be dependent on the complete cards business P&L. So it depends on situation to situation where banks are in the stage of evolution.
Understand. Very interesting. I think we can do a whole session on the cards business and I think a lot of people would be interested. But it's pretty fascinating. So you've been doing cards for so long. And we discussed this earlier. Are you crazy to do cards again? Why wouldn't you just stop and chill?
No. So all Citibankers live and breathe cards. Unlike a Citibanker, you can't take a cards business out of a Citibanker. Out of cards business. So we all love cards industry and we all of us at our heart want to leave a mark in the industry, right? Because we've given so much to the industry in terms of innovations, in terms of surrogates, in terms of alternate underwriting mechanisms, etc. So at the heart of it, we want to create innovations and take it forward. That's the crux of what we're trying to do.
And why did you decide to do this? More like personally, you've had so much experience, financially sorted. Why not just play tennis?
I have very Siddharth and Anoop, who are my co-founders. We are very close friends, right? And we all three of us have been in payment. Matlab, if you combine our experience, all three of us together would be 65-70 years of experience in cards business. But ultimately, when all three of us were talking to each other, we wanted to look at a channel which could be our last way of leaving an impression in the payments industry. We wanted to leave a lasting legacy. And all of us are 40 plus. While I look 16, but I'm 40. All of us are 45. Matlab, at least me and Siddharth are 45 plus. Anoop is the youngest out of all three of us. But we all know that we have energy for another 10 years, probably max, right? And we can only do this once, right? Unlike other startup founders that we meet, that's their third or fourth startup. So this is like a last hurrah. We are banking completely on it. We are banking completely on it to leave a lasting impression on the payments industry and for all the experience and knowledge that three of us have, right? So that's the motivation. Monetary is not as much. As long as there is food coming in the house, we are fine, all three of us. But we for sure want to leave a lasting legacy as far as the industry is concerned.
That's awesome. And you built so many cards previously. How do you get a wedge in as a new company, a new startup? Can you talk to us about what is Kiwi's value proposition? What does a UPI-enabled credit card mean? Why is it a big deal? Or why do you believe it will be a big deal? What is it that you're using to get in?
So this is basically credit on UPI. When we were transitioning all of us were in the, Siddharth is basically the, was the ex-CEO for FreeCharge. And Anoop, who's the third co-founder, was the business head of LazyPay. And we were discussing what was happening in the industry in terms of credit on UPI, because UPI we know is big. We all knew credit on UPI will be big. However, we knew the fintech world and the banking world if will have to work together in order to scale the credit on UPI.
What does credit on UPI mean? Can you explain that?
So credit on UPI is that when you scan, when you go to a shop, right? Let's say aap vada pav wale ke paas you're going, right? You're in Pune, yes. And you would know there are multiple vada pav vendors, and you scan the QR, right? There is a Bharat QR or a Paytm QR or any QR. You take out your phone, you most likely will do a Google Pay or a Phone Pay transaction or a Paytm transaction. By the looks of it, you would have Google Pay. I'm more or less pretty sure you are using Google Pay.
Yeah. So you can. I feel known and examined, but yes, no, that's absolutely right.
We have done so much research, we have found out who uses Google Pay, who uses Phone Pay, and who uses Paytm. Now we know in and out. So you scan the QR and you pay, let's say, 50 rupees or 25 rupees. Right now, you go get an option of paying by savings account, right?
Yes. Correct.
So what credit on UPI does is, besides savings account, it gives you an additional option of paying by credit card. So if you have a RuPay card, you can link it to any of the apps. Basically, RuPay credit card helps you pay through the RuPay credit card network. And you get the same benefits as a credit card. So you pay 25 rupees, you through your RuPay credit card, you get 50 days interest-free credit, you get the regular reward points that a credit card comes with, and you can keep, and you get, declutter your savings account statement, etc. Everything happens. So it works like a, so it's like a virtual card. You actually don't need a physical card or a POS terminal. The merchant also doesn't need a POS terminal. So that's how powerful the credit on UPI ecosystem is.
And why can't we do it today? You mentioned the RuPay network, so maybe you can explain to our listeners what are different card networks, MasterCard, Visa. Like, why is it not possible today, and why are you relevant in that context?
So right now in India, there is RuPay, Visa, Master, Diners, JCB. These are and American Express.
And Amex, yes.
But as per the RBI guideline, only RuPay card has been allowed to work on the UPI network as far as credit card transactions are concerned. I mean, there are discussions on within RBI that they will sooner or later might allow Visa, Master, etc. other networks. But as we speak, it's only on RuPay network. Now, why does Kiwi become relevant is, you know that the penetration of physical RuPay cards or RuPay credit cards in India, when we launched, was less than 1%. Right now also, it's less than 3%. So less than 3% of the credit card population have a RuPay card. Besides that, there are 30 million credit cards in India. But the underwritable population is 100 million, right? If you include the EMI Bajaj card population, the debit EMI population, etc. So the number of people actually you can give a card to is anywhere between 80 to 100 million. Now, but a RuPay card available with these customers is less than 3% right now, as far as the carded population is concerned. So where Kiwi became relevant was that we are partnering with banks in, this is not a co-brand. This is, we issue the RuPay cards of the bank, enable the issuance, and actually issue the RuPay credit card in less than 3 minutes. So what we do is, you download the app, you fill the form, you do video KYC, and your card is generated and you are linked to the Kiwi app. And you can start going to your vada pav vendor, to Chromas of the world, to anywhere, and start using it also immediately and get the 50 days, etc. credit instantly, correct? So one relevant piece is that we actually help banks issue the card digitally. The whole process is digital. From application form filling to video KYC, etc. Just to point to note is that the underwriting norms and etc. is as per the bank. We don't get into all that. So the approval rates are as per bank's policy. So there will be a waterfall, right? Out of every 100 customers, maybe 40 or 35 will get a credit card. So those norms still remain which is true for any other cards business, correct?
Hmm.
So first solution we were coming up with is actually giving RuPay cards to customer. Second is we then worked with NPCI and became a TPAP. Now TPAP is a third party application.
Hmm.
In layman terms, Google Pay, Phone Pay are TPAPs,
which are
fintech apps where you can do UPI transactions on, apps through which you can do a UPI transaction on. So we took the help of NPCI and became an app like Google Pay and Phone Pay.
Hmm.
So I'll again explain the journey. Now you've downloaded the app, you've got a credit card, you link your card to our app, which is a UPI app.
Hmm.
And you start doing transactions immediately.
Hmm.
And you won't believe it that because of this process, we have a 85 to 90% activation rates on our card.
Wow.
Where industry hovers around 30 to 40%. So because you're getting the card instantly, you can link it and start using it immediately, right? And I'll tell you what other advantages are there. So now we are trying to solve for issuance of RuPay card. By enabling banks to issue on through our platform. We took NPCI's help for usage, right? Besides that, most likely you've used your card. Now you will go to Cred or someplace else to pay the bills, or you'll go to banking app to, let's say, switch off e-com transactions or manage your limits, etc. But on our app, for all products that are issued through Kiwi, all cards that are issued through Kiwi right now with Axis Bank, you can actually pay your bill, you can manage your limits, you can fraud block your card immediately. So everything is on one app. So imagine there is a issuance that happens on our app, usage that happens on our app, and managing of card, everything is on one app. Basically, we say that five apps on the phone, which you use to manage your credit card, are all combined into Kiwi.
Nice. And you're also a free for life card.
Yeah.
How is that? Like, what's the...
So, see, the pricing of the card, credit card, na, is basically banks do joining fees and annual fees on the card is primarily because you want people to be serious when they're getting the card, right?
Right, correct.
It is not that big a revenue stream. In fact, out of the total fee income that bank earns, this is probably not even 10% of the fee income.
It's a nudge to use, is what you're saying.
Yes. So basically, you don't want people to take the card for fun of it.
Yes.
If somebody pays, he's serious about getting the card. Mm. And why they do it is because activation rates thereof are better.
Right.
So a free-for-life card, the activation rates will be around 30-40%. And a paid card activation rate would be 50-60%. However, in our case, we were seeing 80% activation rate. So it was futile asking for joining an annual fee, correct?
And so why were you seeing that? Any hypothesis on, is it because of your customer base? Like, who are you going after?
So one is that. And second is the credit on UPI ecosystem, no? Encourages UPI transaction, correct? So I'll give you a very simple example, right? In India, there are POS terminals, right? A credit card can be used only on POS terminals. There are only 80 lakh POS terminals in India as per RBI data, right? 80 lakhs, as in, if you go to Shopper Stop, there are 10 terminals. They're counted in the 80 lakhs as 10 terminals. So there are 80 lakh terminals. However, outlets will be at max 20 to 30 lakhs, which accept, which have a point of sale terminal. But the UPI, credit on UPI, is accepted at all QRs, whether it is Bheem, whether it is Bharat Pay, Phone Pay. Imagine your number of places where it can be accepted is 250 million. It is 30x. So even if you go to Northeast, where during Demon, our first agenda was to enable digital transaction in Northeast when I was in Access. Imagine there is a QR there where you can just scan and pay. There is no electricity required, no network required, nothing. Just print a QR and put. So just that pie increased for additional acceptance points, which increased the activation, right? So that was a big game changer.
Very interesting. So you're expanding the areas and places where you can pay. Like,
yeah, I, for and example, we don't, We don't issue any physical plastic.
Yeah.
Till date, not even a single plastic we've issued.
Like a lot of the sabziwalas around yes. me, many of yeah, them yeah. accept cards, but some of them don't accept cards. I'd love to use my Magnus, but I have to use UPI.
Yeah. So, but it was just a. I'll keep giving you interesting data points, but I'll just give you one more interesting data point. So, I was in one of the conferences recently, and all of us are friends only, right? So, ICICI Bank and Yes Bank are cards head, Anil and Amarjeet, all of us were there. And I was telling him that my 80 to 85% transactions happen on scan and pay. Correct?
Hmm.
Which means there is somebody scanning the QR and paying, which is the people like Sabziwala or Croma physical outlet. But if you see the cards industry data, 65% transactions happen online, which is very counterintuitive to the transactions we are seeing. So we are actually increasing the pie of spends. We are not cannibalizing any of the traditional credit card spends.
Yeah.
We are growing the pie.
Yeah. That makes sense. You're like going into the areas where POS is not there and others and people are not spending offline. That makes sense, actually, given UPI. And who would you say is your target audience? Like, what's the persona like? How would you describe it?
So we right now are getting very digitally savvy, 28 to 35 kind of age group. Traditionally, it's very young compared to a cards business. Cards business traditionally is 35 to 45 years of age group. Why I say digitally savvy is because all our customers are getting onboarded digitally. Their service requests are getting managed digitally. So everything is, we've got very few telecalling or physical ways of reaching out to the customer. So we're getting very digitally savvy. We've got, at least we don't hear anything on social media that why don't you do this, that, etc.
Yeah.
Which is issue a physical card or can I come and see you somewhere, etc. So that's why I say we're getting a very digitally savvy population and very young kind of customers.
Very interesting. Is this a wedge into something larger or do you think this in itself will be so big that you can build a large business on this?
So we've got a very good feedback about the clean and clear app that we have, right?
Yes.
We only do credit card. There is no Paytm Mall or PhonePe insurance. We are not cross-selling. We will not intend to cross-sell or we don't want to cross-sell. It's a very clean interface and all thanks to Anoop who had actually got his learning from LazyPay and he manages all this for us. But the feedback we've got is please keep it clutter-free. Just have a payment button and a credit card management section. So, and we don't intend to at all move out of it. So we will always be at our heart credit on UPI. Right now it is credit card. There is credit line regulations that have also come. So once there is more clarity around how the revenue norms are on it or income norms are there, we will probably wedge into that. But we will not be like all-in-one app, cross-selling clothes and books or stationery or insurance. We don't intend to do any of that.
And given you talked about the clean, you know, the clean nature of the app, I was just joking with my family yesterday, just looking at a few bank websites. I was going to Central Bank of India where my grandmom has an account. I couldn't find the login button. It was like there were so many things happening on the web page. It was insane. Like, and there was a button somewhere hidden below which was internet banking. It didn't even say login because you expect login to be there, right? It said internet banking. It's an incredible website and it is valued twice as much as Paytm. Just FYI. Central Bank of India. So what do you, and we'll talk about this as well. What do you think about the importance of design and customer obsession in the financial services space, given you guys are so razor focused on it? And do you think banks are like slow moving dinosaurs or is there something more to it, given what we've been seeing recently with RBI's regulation on Paytm and closing down the bank?
See, I think all fintechs ka jo bhi, whatever play that has happened, no, is improving the customer experience. Everybody has found
Absolutely.
A need. I think nobody has created a new product. It has just improved improve various things for the customer, whether it is B2B or D2C. Anything that you look at it is more, look at us also, right? This product is existing in the market and is up for takes for everyone.
Yeah.
We're just making it more simple and better for the customer, right?
Right.
And this might work or might not work, but at least we'll give it a best shot. Hmm. So I think no innovation or no business can survive without a customer obsession around making it convenient or making it interesting. But customer has to be at the heart. I mean, I've not seen a fintech which has come in the market without that play in mind, right?
Hmm.
But as far as your questions around bank is concerned, see, I right now I'm also managing single-handedly the banking partnerships for Kiwi.
Yes, because and you've been in banks before as well. Although they're like more blue chip banks than the traditional PSUs.
Absolutely.
But still, like, I think a lot of people underestimate how nimbly some banks move, given the construct that they have to operate around. For example, people love SBI, even though they make so many jokes about lunch and all.
Yeah.
It is a product which has the largest distribution in India, even more than WhatsApp, like in terms of users.
Yes.
And it goes physically. So I'm curious to get your view as an insider who is now an outsider to the banking system in some way. What do you think about them? Like, what is the real picture?
So things have changed in the last few years. And there have been changes that have been good. So a couple of banks that I'm, PSU banks, large PSU banks, the likes of PNB, Canara, and Bank of India, these kind of banks.
Right.
I actually, there is one of these banks has made a Digi Parivartan division, which actually are trying to, are wanting to change for better, right?
Yeah, like Canara is at Bob, no, Bank of Baroda is at Bob app.
Yes,
very
yes.
bad naming, but still, at least they're trying.
So that's just a interface between them and the customer, an app or a website. But what I was talking about is that at the core, at head office levels, at their corporate office levels, there are various, these departments are getting formed where they know they have to be ready for the future to get digitally savvy younger population, because most of these banks are struggling with the age profile of the customers they are getting.
Yeah.
But there is so much intent into trying to be better. For example, if you see Canara, they, I think they call it all one app or something like that. They've also hired a CDO from a private sector bank, right?
Wow.
So, and even Canara, even PNB, when I talk to all the CGMs, etc., there is a CGM there who heads the Digi Parivartan division. And in fact, the PNB office is, I was awestruck to see it is a green building. It survives on its own energy, in fact.
Wow.
At Dwarka. But the intent to do digital stuff and Digi Parivartan division trying to do that is a welcome change to see, which you wouldn't have seen 5-10 years back. I think the struggle will be how fast can they do it. The intention is not the issue. It is, you're right, how fast can they do it? And that's because of the amount of approvals and internal processes that they have.
Yeah.
But the attitude change and mindset change in PSU banks is happening for the good.
That's awesome. And do you think that they're kind of coming to a place where you have the right mix of speed and caution? Because, you know, there is this famous quote that's quoted by Zuckerberg, which is move fast, break things, Facebook. But if you try to move fast and break things in India, RBI breaks you is my addition to that. So do you think that some fintechs cross the line, overstep, and you should be a little more cautious? Is there something to learn from all of this?
Hum logo kan, at least my boss used to say, and I'm trying to use Hindi here, ki shuru to karo. See, don't be patient, shuru karo, and it might take 3 months, 6 months or whatever. It'll happen. But those 3 months, 6 months are precious enough to iron out all these governance or compliance issues, but do it properly. In all these large banks, I've realized that a deal or a relationship to fructify might take 6 months. But when you work with large banks, right, you are assured that they will not tread the gray area, right? So that if you are fine waiting for that much period of time and having an absolutely zero error business. I think that's a better situation to be, rather than just trying to be acting smart and trading into the wrong side of compliance.
And what that's do you what think I... about? No, that makes sense. I mean, I agree. What do you think about the RBI? Do you think it is not startup friendly, or is it startup friendly? I know it's a loaded question I'm asking you, but just want to understand from you, how do you think they operate? What's your understanding of how the RBI thinks about fintechs?
So, I have interacted with RBI for at least 10-15 years, and I've seen all the most of the departments, and I'm guaranteeing you there is, for them, customer is the paramount. Customer is paramount, right?
Correct.
So whether they introduced chip and pin transactions, right, to avoid frauds, or any other decisions that they've taken, which is tap and pay to make it more convenient, or tokenization of card, there is no decision where customer is not at the center of their decision. Wo aap hi ka interest protect kar rahe hain when they are taking that decisions. It's how you take it, how you take it, or what opinion you make. You can have your opinion. But you would have also seen that there is not even a single decision or guideline that has come where customer hasn't gained. So that is why I really respect all the people there, right? I've interacted from the manager level to the senior most level. Everybody discusses. Everybody tells their team tells their perspective, and then is when a decision is taken. So this is the case which is true for all banks or any corporates, right? Any decision is with customer at its heart,
right?
So I really respect that organization in that manner. And
no, that makes sense. That makes sense. I actually agree with you. I think at least we've been seeing this unfold. I have noticed that they will not do anything that is not thought through or without warning. It is not like all of these things just happened suddenly. I'm sure there's enough background.
So, in our time, no, when I was the cards head for, if I remember, I think Stanchart cards head at that point of time. And they had called us to discuss chip and pin. Matlab, with every chip transaction, you will have to enter the 4-digit pin. And we all went ki sir US mein to kabhi nahi hota ye, wahan pe sirf chip chalta hai, chip and signature hai, you just chip, sign and go off. Till date, by the way, US is not fully chip in.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And Europe is also not that. They said no, we want to do it, just go with us and work with us. I am telling you, 90% of the frauds are not happening because of chip and pin transaction today. I mean, it was the biggest boon that the industry could have got.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and it's amazing at UPI scale. I think UPI is now processing $1 trillion of worth of transaction volume. The amount of fraud that happens on UPI is minuscule at that scale. And just imagine, it is such a low friction, fast method, which is ripe for fraud in most cases. But it isn't. So I remember like reading this piece maybe a few years ago where I was like, hey, you're saying ki UPI has had 17 crores or 20 crores, some amount, I don't remember the exact magnitude, but it was about this range. Just divided by the total volume or value, and you'll realize that it's a rounding error, which is more than...
Wo kahin bhi nahi dikhega.
Yeah, so I think this is true for RBI. This is also true for SEBI. I've seen that they... keep the retail investor at mind with everything they do. So in some ways, the regulator is very retail focused, almost all regulators, which is, I think, a good thing. And India needs to operate differently. I mean, the US probably has a more free hand. I think in India, the stage we are at as a country, maybe so much. We need some guardrails, especially with finance. So what are priorities for you? Maybe, you know, I won't ask a very long-term question because you're a very young company today. Maybe for the next few years, what's the focus going to be?
So right now we are focused on getting on a couple of more banks, right? So we can service many more customers. We want to we are clear. We want to enable issuance of RuPay cards. We want to be the largest issuer of RuPay cards. Because that's the business that India is made of, right? That's something that we can take pride on, correct? So we want to be one of the largest issuers of RuPay cards. Active RuPay cards, spenders, etc. All key indicators in the right place. So all our decisions right now within the organizations are, this is the North Star for us. This is the paramount focus that we want to achieve in the next couple of years.
I understand. And to close out our podcast, why we call this Founders Unfiltered, what's one piece of unfiltered advice or feedback you received in your journey, either as an entrepreneur or as a career banker, that really changed your perspective? And brutal honest is good. You don't need to name the person or, you know, where you got the feedback from.
No, actually, I have made, so ek to 20 years mein na itne log you may make friends with, etc. But I spoke to all my bosses during this period of time, and sabne ek hi cheez kaha tha, tu aage badh, hum tere saath hai. And that was somehow the same thing that everybody said. Nobody said ki tu mat kar, kyun is stage pe ye pange le raha hai. What will you do? And it was just so heartening to hear that ki tu aage badh, hum tere saath hai, tu fikar mat kar, bas tu aage chalte ja. So that was the most precious advice that tilted me to crossing that.
Amazing. So it was good feedback that made you take this call.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you so much, Mohit. It was an amazing discussion, especially on credit and credit cards. I think, you know, if we wanted to, we could have discussed just on the credit cards alone. But thank you so much for sharing openly. Congratulations on this new journey of yours. And we're all hoping that you grow and, you know, leave the mark that you intend to make over the next 10 years.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It was entertaining and it was insightful. I love talking to youngsters.
Thank you.
It just opens my eyes a lot. But thank you for this.
Thank you.